Here is Anderson Bowles, and Rogers goes back, runs that wider third slip for four runs. Controlled the stroke, and 150. Well played him. What a tremendous innings from Rogers.
Well, if you understood all that, you're probably a cricket fan. I didn't understand a word of it. I'm not saying I'm not a cricket fan. In some ways, I wish I was. But my problem is, I don't understand the game. Cricket played no part in my youth, in my upbringing. We didn't play it at school. And I've walked on God's earth for nearly 60 years, and it's played almost no part in my life whatsoever. Having said that, I wish I understood it, and I quite envy those who do. I've always had a bit of a hankering to play it. It just looks very pleasant. Sunny afternoons, playing cricket, having fun. It just looks like something I'd like to do. But still, I have no idea what people are talking about when they talk about cricket. And that especially applies to test cricket. Now, I've got two cousins, Mike and Arthur. Mike is Australian and Arthur is, well, he's British, but he now lives in Canada. But he's Scottish by birth, and they are both cricket fanatics. You might guess that Mike, the Australian, follows Australia, and Arthur follows England, despite being Scottish. That's because we don't have any kind of cricket presence in Scotland worth talking about at all. So essentially, the English cricket team is the British cricket team. I know that much. I know that Scotland does play cricket, but not very well. So what I've tried to do is to try to understand cricket, and I've somewhat jealously listened into my cousins' conversations over the last few years, and I realise they keep in touch about cricket a lot. And this podcast was made while the Ashes was being played in England between Australia and England. And I know they email each other every day, so I've asked them to copy me into their emails in order to try and help me understand the game. So we'll see if it's worked. One thing I do like is the music that introduces the cricket on the BBC in the UK. So let's have a bit of that before we start.
Moeen comes round the wicket, tossing it up, and that's Moeen high, down towards long off. Can they take the catch? Is this the moment? It is! And England have completed, surely, one of their most unexpected victories over Australia. They've won by 169 runs, the catch taken in the deep. What a performance. Australia bowled out for 242.
This is July 2015, so that presumably was the England victory over Australia just the other week in Cardiff in the UK, and it was most unexpected given England's recent poor performance in the Ashes against Australia. So again, for somebody who doesn't know much about cricket, I know that much. So I must warn you that the conversation between my two cousins, which I will report from their emails, will be rather two-sided. First of all, Mike's side will be Australian through and through, and Arthur's will be, well, he's Scottish, lives in Canada, so it'll be English through and through. So there's a bit of this. First of all, let's see what Mike would say about it all.
Australians, all let us rejoice, for we are young and free. We've golden soil and wealth for toil. Our home is goodbye sea. Our land abounds in nature's gifts of beauty. Rich and every page, let every stage advance Australia fair.
Thanks, Mike. So let's hear what Arthur might have to say about this. So, nothing partisan there at all, I guess. Well, before we get on to Mike and Arthur, somebody contacted me about cricket recently and said he'd like to have a few words first of all. So, let's hear from somebody who claims to be a great cricket expert, lives in the same county as I do in the UK, and he's called Geoffrey Boycott.
Well, it's stupid. More brains in a pork pie, isn't there? They've just about gifted the test match to Australia. Stupid. What a dipstick on a, to get a start like that and spoon it almost. That was like my mum hanging out the washing. If I were you in England, I'd go to sleep. Because it could become a nightmare, this. This is a shocker this morning. What a load of rubbish that was. The batting by England's been absolutely pathetic. Played down Piccadilly and it went down Bakerloo. Stupid.
It's not the middle pole down! Ball, Jimmy Anderson, you're gone, you're gone. You get off now, the Ashes have gone. Forget this match, they've gone, they've flown away.
Well, it's not a good morning. It's a pathetic display of batting because we only lasted 32 overs.
Well, thank you, Geoffrey. You're doing what you always do best, in my view, there, talking bollocks. I'd rather listen to my cousins. So let's see what Arthur and Mike have to say, starting off with Mike. So what you've got to imagine with Mike, because I can't do accents, is a well-educated Australian bus driver. And what he says here, first of all, is, "Dear Arthur, yet again, I have to go to bed at lunch in order to keep Brisbane moving tomorrow." That's the bus driver bit coming in, you see. "But I do so reasonably happily." Now, Mike is happy because the card of defeat of Australia is over, and this is the Lord's leg of the journey round the UK, and Australia are doing pretty well. So he says, "You can have the card of pitch, I'll take this one. Obviously, I have to agree with everyone re Warner's dismissal. An unnecessary shot, but one which, if he had middled it, would have easily gone for six. And we would all be applauding the Warner style, which is, as we know, to do things that may not always be the most advisable to do, even if they come off. Also, as I mentioned during the last test, having set the standard, however, anything less than 430 will not be good enough and will give England their chance to show that Cardiff was no fluke. I'm off to bed now. Won't see much tomorrow night as I have to work on Saturday, and it will be 4:30 a.m. Saturday night." So let's turn to Arthur. Now, what you've got to imagine with Arthur, again, as I can't do accents, is a distinctly Scottish accent with a North American twist to it and a very deep voice. So what Arthur says in reply to that is, "Well, Michael," see, very formal because they're obviously a bit of a niggle going on here. "I'm afraid my input on the Lord's test is going to be fairly limited as I'm out of my element and on the road to Winnipeg, where several engagements are unfortunately going to severely restrict listening to or viewing the game." Now, I thought these guys were fanatics, but they're beginning to let me down already. "Anyway, as I leave, I have a dental appointment with..." dental appointments, Arthur, we don't want to know about that. But anyway, what he says is, "Australia are going along nicely at 204-1 on a pitch that appears to be moribund in contrast to a Cardiff strip that was, in comparison, lightning quick." Now, this is the kind of stuff that I just don't get. I have no idea what that score means, if it's good or bad, and how you have a quick pitch, and all this stuff is just a mystery to me. So, good toss to win, of course, and Oz will seek to apply maximum scoreboard pressure. Yeah, no jargon there, Arthur. England indeed may well be hoist with their own petard, as it is obvious that groundsman's instructions are to prepare slow tracks to draw the string of the Aussie pace attack. Arthur, you just lost me there again. How does he go on? Well, he says, however, as always, judgment will be reserved until England's reply. But these wickets are not conducive to exciting cricket. Well, you can say that again, boy. We'll check later in the day to hopefully an Australian batting collapse, but on the face of it, it seems highly unlikely. Well, there you go. That's what Arthur had to say in reply to Mike. Now, here's Mike's reply, and he says, "Dear Arthur and Roger," because he realises I'm listening in on this. He says, "I'd like to say again that I much prefer this pitch to the Cardiff one." Why? Well, he's asking his own questions, and I'm assuming he's going to answer it. He says, "Because the bounce is so much more consistent and is, by and large, going through to the keeper at a reasonable height." Now, how do you know, sitting 12,000 miles away, that the bounce is more consistent? I don't know. I wish I knew these things. Anyway, therefore, good for the batsman and bowler. Well, it was good for both of them. That kind of equals things out, I guess. He goes on to say, "I've got some reservations about these commentators leaving their judgment of the pitch until England bat." No comment from me, I have to say. Surely people of their stature and cricket experience can make a judgment about the pitch without waiting for the game to be over. Exclamation mark. A good batting pitch for the first team cannot be a green top for the second team that has to follow on. Mike, you're losing me there, mate. Surely it's all about the skill of the respective batsmen and bowlers. Well, there we go. I've kind of caught up with you again there. Anyway, he says, "The Aussies are motoring on as the first drinks break is taken, with Clark and Smith beginning to establish a partnership." Nice for them. I don't know where that's going to lead, but anyway, we'll see. Although Clark has yet to settle in. I would be disappointed if Clark is not able to declare with about 550 on the board with an hour's play left in the day. Well, Mike, I guess I'd be disappointed too, but I've got no idea what you're talking about. So, he says, "Enough for now. I must be off to bed so that I can safely transport the good people of Brisbane to the destinations before dawn tomorrow." This guy is perhaps a cricket fanatic, but I'll tell you one thing, he's a dedicated bus driver. So he's going to be in touch tomorrow, and he's going to watch some rugby in the meantime. So I wonder what he's going to say tomorrow. So Arthur's obviously not so busy in Winnipeg that he can't reply, because here he is getting back. He says, "Well, gentlemen," that includes me, I feel like one of the cricketing fraternity now, it's quite an honour. He says, "Australia have awoken from their Cardiff slumber with a vengeance. Perhaps the pervasive Welsh coal dust clouded their minds there." Always one for a joke is Arthur, and England find themselves in what one might term a precarious position, but while Captain Cook is at the helm, Captain Cook discovered Australia, of course, and he says, "And like his 18th century navigational namesake, himself no stranger to Australian shores, perhaps he can steer the ship to less turbulent waters in the company of three other recognised batsmen, Messrs Stokes, Butler and everyone's favourite pest, Moeen Ali." Well, again, I don't know all these cricketing characters, so you've lost me there a little bit. Anyway, as previously intimated, scoreboard pressure always presents the team batting second with a palpable psychological obstacle, but it doesn't help when technical deficiencies and poor shot selection aid and abet the Australian cause. Psychological obstacle indeed. So, taking nothing away from Smith's superb knock and Rogers, that's not referring to me, of course, impressive contribution, he must have felt it was home game playing, as he has for Middlesex for several years in the hallowed turf. But an analysis of the four English dismissals to date does not make for good reading. You're beginning to lose me there a bit, Arthur, but when England came out to bat, a large black cloud had gathered over Lords, which was ominous, to say the least. Blyth played a miserable, unforced waft second ball of the innings and balances deep in the crease technique once again led to his undoing against the pitched up ball delivered at pace. You see, this is the sort of stuff that I just don't get. Arthur and Mike, you've got to help me here. Can the batting coach please have a word? Well, he probably can, but I'm not sure with whom. So let's carry on. Bell essayed an execrable shot across the line, and for a seasoned Ashes campaigner, his performance to date leaves a lot to be desired, while Root uncharacteristically played at a ball that could easily have been left. No comment. As expected, the Australian pace battery demonstrated speed through the air that England cannot match, and with a gigantic total to defend the quicks, can let loose with impunity. So this is the time for England to show some character, and Cook and Stokes, in their own particular styles, batted out the day with admirable resilience and can hopefully offer further stout defence tomorrow on a pitch that apparently holds no great intrinsic demons. This is great stuff. I love it. I've got no idea what it means, but it's great stuff. We never talk about football like this. So Arthur finishes, unfortunately I've not been able to watch any of the proceedings on the telly, so I'll have to rely largely on the unbiased observations of our Brisbane correspondent. Well, good luck with that, because I don't think he's unbiased. And goes on to speak about a family wedding and distractions and such like. As I say, I thought these guys were dedicated, but they're off to family weddings, so they're obviously not as dedicated as I thought. So, Mike's response to that is, Arthur, I've been missed out of this one, I see, but I've been copied in anyway. I don't feel so bad about it. I guess they can't remember me every time they're writing an email about cricket, especially when they get excited. He says, Arthur, trialling the new tablet, and I've a lot to... this is all about technology. Nonetheless, it seems to be working. Well, obviously, Mike, we're reading your email. So far it's been an interesting night and somewhat satisfying. Well, we don't want to know about that, but what about the cricket? It is about cricket. No, it's about sport. First of all, the Wallabies defeated the Springboks in injury time by 24-20, 3-2. Well, we're on to rugby, and that's another game I don't really understand. As for the British Open, we're on to golf now. I mean, stick to the point, Mike, for God's sake. So then, there we go. Oh, yes, there is, of course, that other game. I did give priority to the Wallabies, we're still on the rugby stuff here. Let's get down to the cricket. My basic instincts wouldn't let me not watch the first over, double negative there, after which I thought Stokes wouldn't last long. I think we're back on the cricket. I've got no idea who Stokes is and who he plays for, but we'll see. It all might be revealed. I was, as it turned out, somewhat premature. Hard to imagine Cook using the same field. Needless to say, it almost came off. Firstly, there was Neville's non-catch of Butler. Okay, I think I've got that. No doubt that the ball touched the ground, but my problem with the DRS lost me there, Mike. In this case, is that Neville well and truly had control of the ball before his trajectory meant the ball hit the ground. Well, okay, Mike, it's getting all a bit technical for me now. But anyway, still, Butler had the grace when Lyon, yet again making the breakthrough, had him caught behind. Cook remains unbeaten, despite a dropped catch by Smith off Johnson, one that many other times he would have taken. Still, put my money on the Aussies for a win. 10 minutes to tea. Another wicket before tea would be nice, but I'm going to bed and will be very happy to hear. He's always going to bed, this guy, but he is a bus driver, of course. He's got to keep Brisbane moving. Very happy to hear in the morning that they were all out for 300. You see, again, I was with you there for a few minutes, but you've lost me again. All out for 300. No idea what that means. That being the case, there's no way in the world I'd enforce the follow on, losing me even more. Make them chase or defend on the last day, I reckon. And then he says, Advance Australia Fair. You see, I preempted this with my rendition of Advance Australia Fair earlier. I knew he'd be nationalist to the core. Well, Mike and Arthur, thanks very much for copying me into your emails for a few days, you can carry on doing that by all means, and you never know, we might make another podcast together. But I'm not sure my understanding of cricket is any greater than it was. But I have to say one thing, my love of the game, despite my lack of understanding, is greater. And it's because of you two guys. I love your enthusiasm. I love the expansive language you use to describe the game. And I just love your enthusiasm. I don't know if I'll ever grow to understand the game, but I'll certainly try to love it a bit more, and that's because of you two. However, somebody else has just gotten contact again, and he wants to have a few more words about cricket. I'm sorry, he does keep interrupting me, but I guess he's quite well known, so we better let him have a word. So over to you, Jeff, once again.
It's not a good morning. It's a pathetic display of batting because we only lasted 32 overs. We know they've been outplayed in four other test matches. We knew they were being outplayed in this, but we wanted to see a bit of fight. And they just collapsed. I mean, 32 overs is really one session. If they bowl their overs at a reasonable rate, 16 an hour, instead of so slow, actually, they haven't lasted an afternoon in club cricket, have they? And that should be hurtful, it should be humiliating, and watching it was.
Did they give up, England?
Yes, they gave up. They were broken. They were broken. I mean, if we'd have known they were going to play like that, they might as well have not played the match, just given it to Australia.
Well, thanks, Geoffrey. I've no idea what you're talking about there, but I'm not alone in that. Well, I can't support England because I'm not English. I can't support Australia because I'm not Australian. So let's hope that someday Scotland get a decent cricket team together, and at Lord's or wherever they celebrate these things, we can hear this.
O flower of Scotland, when will we see your like again? That fought and died for your wee bit hill and glen that stood against him. Proud Edward's army and sent him homeward to think again. The hills are bare and autumn leaves lie thick and still. For land that is lost now, which those so dearly held, that stood against him. Proud Edward's army and sent him home to think.
362 runs ahead.
Rogers, I think, has got a problem here.
Yeah.
Gesturing with his hand as if suddenly, I say, he felt very dizzy. He's going to retire hurt. He's retired hurt on 49. Let's hope all is well.
Warner's driving inside out, and he's caught. Caught by Cook trying to go over the top.
Slipped right across his thumbs and flicks this round the corner. There it is. There's his 50.
The first Australian since Don Bradman to make a double hundred. First innings and a 50 in the second innings. An Ashes test for Australia.
He bowled. The Smith going down the wicket, 210 now for two.
Glenn McGrath's eating himself, I guess.
There's been tremendous cakes come.
My mate, he's chosen out. I thought you would have eaten Geoffrey.
Well, I think it's quite tempting to do something else with Geoffrey. Martial, a lovely shot. And the members are scattering. They don't do that very often. And one or two of them move quite quickly. And there's a lot of ducking going on. Panama hats and so on flying all over the place. Australia have declared 254 for two. And so the lead 508. England need a small matter of 509 to win. Or they need five sessions in which to try and protect their 1-0 lead. And it's going to be tough.
Ooh, like a big top line. He's
as Moeen comes round the wicket, tossing it up, and that's Moeen high down towards long.